The Chaser Report is recorded on Gadigal land.
Striving for mediocrity in a world of excellence, this is The Chaser Report.
Hello and welcome to The Chaser Report with Dom and Charles.
Hello, Charles. What a week it's been of news. So much that we've discussed. What are we going to do? It's Monday morning. It's the start of another intense week of, you know, I think Parliament might be sitting this week.
Yeah.
Well, I don't care about that. Why don't we just talk? How are you? Can we talk about something else? I'm just a bit exhausted by all this news.
I actually can't disclose that, Dom, anymore. Sorry.
You went to that spy thing last week, didn't you?
Yeah.
We did a whole episode. I was wondering if you're going to get in trouble, actually.
Well, for publishing the
chat we had last week about your lecture at the National Security College.
Yeah.
I thought it was probably not the most prudent thing while going to a gig for spies to talk about how you're going to a gig for spies. Mm. But I admired that as part of your operation blurt out everything all the time.
Yeah, it's my chutzpah, right? Yeah. But then I arrived there and, well, frankly, Dom, I can't tell you anything. I can't tell you anything because it was Chatham House rule. You know the Chatham House rule?
Isn't that some sort of British aristocratic thing where you can talk freely amongst...
To encourage free speaking and freedom of thought and intellectual rigour, everything's secret.
That's such a good system.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it kind of protects you from being cancelled. That's basically the point, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can have a conversation and rail against whatever you like, including your friends and whatever.
Oh, yes.
And no one says, so you don't get cancelled.
Oh, I mean, I can't tell you how many racist epithets I used and sexist and misogynistic epithets I used because it's Chatham House rules, so I can't actually disclose that. But yeah, it was so liberating, Dom, to have freedom to talk freely. Because really? I think that's what you want out of a democracy is secrecy, is more secrecy.
Okay, so Chatham House rules will apply to this podcast.
Yeah, okay, that's a good way. That's a good way around talking about it.
Yeah, because basically if you listen to this podcast, you promise not to reveal anything that we've said on it.
Yep.
You can't cancel us for it.
Yep. So one of the rules of Chatham House is that you are allowed to discuss the topics.
Oh, the topics.
And the ideas. And actually, you're allowed to disclose the information that you get. You're just not allowed to source it back to that event.
Say anything. All right, fine.
So the point is I can tell you what happened, but you just got to guess where I got that information from.
All right, this will be fun. Let's get into that after this.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Charles, there are so many things we could discuss under Chatham House rules, really.
Yes.
We could say who the most unpopular member of the Chaser is.
Yes.
Which one has the biggest personal problems.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's...
Who's going to be the first one to die, I think, is something that... we've been betting on that for a while. What else?
We could talk about how shit Kevin Rudd is. We can talk about global affairs under Chatham House. Oh, no, but actually, we want the salacious stuff, don't we? Because it's got to be the... Yeah, yeah, okay.
Oh, that's a problem with the plan, because what interesting gossip is there about any of us anymore?
Yeah,
none of us really did anything very interesting, even in the good days.
Late 40s, early 50s men.
I don't remember any massive scandals or...
Well, that's because we hushed them all up using Chatham House rules.
Yes. Oh, the fling? That were had the spicy. Nah, God, we're so boring. Yeah. That's right. It was all really interesting. Gosh, amazing. If I could talk, Charles, if the Chaser office had cameras in it, it would have got a whole bunch of people staring at screens and smelling because they didn't wash. Okay, so tell us under Chatham House rules.
Yeah.
What did you discover?
Well, I thought the most interesting thing was I'm just trying to think of what the actual most interesting. I think that to me, the most interesting thing was that they...
Just thinking about what he can say without getting in trouble.
No, I'm just trying to think. I think the most interesting thing was my presentation, actually.
Oh, was
it? I can talk about that. Because I was in a bit of a panic about it, to be honest.
You seemed very panicky when we were brainstorming some ideas the other day.
Because I didn't really know what I was going to say. Mm. And in actual fact, they explicitly said, we just don't want you to talk about jokes. And it was true. Like, every joke I told fell flat.
Oh, wow.
Although I probably shouldn't disclose that under Chatham House rules. No, in fact, I can't disclose whether
you did well or not. Yeah, okay.
But, you know, like, it was a very...
So they wanted you for the quality of your ideas.
Yes, I know, exactly. And
it's very strange.
Yeah, and I did point out that actually AUKUS has the perfect structure of a joke. Like I said, you know, there is a lot of... There's a very close relationship between national security and
humor.
Joke writing. Mm, because, like, AUKUS, the whole point is it's like, you know, the premise... Like, the structure of a joke is premise, advance, twist, right?
Yes.
The premise... of AUKUS is we need to defend our country. The advance is, well, let's buy some subs from France. Mm. And the twist is, oh, no, let's not.
That is I thought the twist was going to be that they'll never come.
Yeah. Oh, no, well, no, they'll come. They'll come.
Aren't they the opposite of Chekhov's gun? Like AUKUS's subs are the subs you know won't be delivered in time for the third act.
Well, if you'd been listening to this podcast last week, you would know that one of the predictions I made is that the whole problem with the... Because I had this fascinating conversation, which I can disclose. Oh, well, I can't tell you where I got this information from. But essentially, the whole idea is the second-hand subs that we're getting from the US will probably end up coming here, partly because... Do you know where they're going to be based?
Like, I've no idea where they're going to be based.
Once they're given to us, guess where they're going to be based?
I'm hoping a long way from where I am, that they're nuclear.
Yep.
What, at Cape York?
No. In fact,
Adelaide. Isn't it always Adelaide?
No. In fact, Darwin and like that northern end is not even mentioned anywhere in the AUKUS agreement. I think partly because I don't think the subs can actually get into Darwin. I think it's too shallow around there. Like these are not designed for Australian conditions.
So it's a combination of geography and indifference.
Yeah, so
Darwin will fall.
You got to think where is the best access to the South China Sea, and it's clearly Perth. You know, it's Fremantle, right? But that's not where they're going to be based, right? So they'll turn up in Fremantle from time to time.
Yeah,
and that's mentioned in the AUKUS agreement. Guess where the subs are going to be based?
I would base them in Nauru.
They're not going to be based in Nauru.
Where would you base the sub? Gold Coast. No. Warner Brothers Movie World.
You're thinking along the wrong lines. This is the AUKUS agreement.
You're talking like Broome?
No, you're thinking...
Oh, sorry, it's the AUKUS agreement. Of course, they'll be based in America.
Yes, that's right. The official base
after
we own the subs is going to be America, right?
Right, of course, it all makes sense. So we're never getting the subs.
So
they're going to be American subs, crewed by Americans, run out of America.
Yes.
But we've paid for.
And the AUKUS agreement is we own them.
Yeah.
And that they'll occasionally turn up in Perth. There'll be a commitment to a constant rotation or something is the wording.
Oh, so is that like how when you buy a house, you don't actually own the house, the bank owns the house.
Yeah, but you are up for all the repairs
that
house. Yeah.
And any financial loss.
And also you can't rent it out to anyone because somebody else is using it. It's almost like you mortgage, you buy a house from the bank and then the banker moves in.
I mean, to be fair, all cynicism aside, Charles.
Yeah.
This is the piece of information that's made me most confident about AUKUS.
Yes, because what the guy was saying is it means we'll definitely get the US-based submarines, the second-hand ones.
I mean, in the loosest definition of the word get.
Because it's only in their interest that we do, because it's all upside for them, all downside for us. So exactly right. Like, that's why we should be very confident about that thing. But the other thing was, and this happened before the announcement, absolute genuine concern about the capacity of the UK to build a submarine. In fact...
Yeah, I mean, that was built into Charles, I wasn't the only... That was the immediate reaction of everybody as soon as they said... Submarines, ultimately the AUKUS submarines will come from the UK.
Yes.
Didn't we all just go, oh, dear God, no.
Yes. And so what our government did last Friday, you know, just last week, was they announced that they're gonna plough $5 billion extra into the submarine industry to support
in the UK, the UK submarine industry.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I saw the announcement.
This is Australian taxpayer dollar going to support local industry in the UK.
In the UK,
yeah. Because that's the role of governments, is to support local industry in another country.
Yeah, because David Cameron came down here.
Yeah,
and I mean, but isn't this exactly what the whole point of AUKUS is?
Mm.
Is that we're basically just paying a trip. It's a tribute.
Yeah. It's a tribute.
I mean, normally you'd pay the tribute to the big dog.
Yes.
I don't really understand why the UK is part of the deal. This is the thing that I'm a bit missed. Like, why is it AUKUS? Why isn't just AUS? Why isn't it just Australia?
Or
Australian
National and US.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good. The ANUS agreement. That's fantastic. But it could just be the USA, the US and Australia, which is the same as the USA.
Yeah.
That's what we should call it. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but you know that we're also playing a whole lot of money into the US submarine industry, which doesn't even need it. This isn't to buy the subs. This is literally just subsidies for their industry. It's the same thing that we would do for Adelaide, and we do for Adelaide for basically their entire existence, or Hobart. Yes. Because you're in a commonwealth and you're going, well, you know, there's a federal system, you know, living in Adelaide and Hobart sucks.
Oh, yes. You pay compensation to people who live in shitholes.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we prop up the commonwealth.
I mean that in the nicest way.
But
Hobart's one of the best.
But now they're collecting our tax dollars and giving it to sort of the Adelaide of Europe.
I've been to the UK many times.
Yeah.
I've been to Adelaide many times.
Yeah.
That's very unfair to Adelaide.
It is.
And
very
we do
unfair
pick on Adelaide,
Adelaide
yeah. a bit.
I know.
But particularly during festival month, Charles, that's downright. You had a good time in Adelaide.
I had a great time in Adelaide.
The UK is an absolute cesspit of a place. Let's see,
is it sort of the orange of Europe?
Or
Bathurst of Europe?
Those from the central west who want to complain, it's podcast at chaser.com.au. More in a moment.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
The Chaser Report. News you know you can't trust.
So this is really interesting. So David Cameron's come out here and gotten $5 billion just for turning up.
Yes.
I mean, how do we have all this money? This is the thing that I find so strange.
We don't have any money, Dom. We cannot afford an increase to job seeker. I think you just got to get – this is about austerity, Dom. This is about fiscal responsibility. The government can't just hand out money to people in Australia.
I mean, let me just do the math here. So $5 billion. I'd see in my calculators.
It's not that much per person. It's not, don't worry, just don't think
so
about it.
$5 billion divided by 25 million
Australians. I don't think there's 25 million taxpayers.
Australians.
So including babies.
So we're all putting in $200, even the baby. All $200 to keep Britain sweet.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like, it's so galling. But also, this is the great thing about Australia is it's got bipartisan support.
It's just the way the world works.
Everyone's going, This is great. You know, it was Scott Morrison's idea. Great. You know, like, let's keep going.
And the thing is, as always with us, we'll just sort of muddle on. This is what Australia does. We just sort of muddle on and the money will go out and we won't get any submarines. And look, I mean,
what could $200 per person buy? Like, what should we spend it on if not submarines?
I mean, how much cocaine of the stuff that's floated in offshore would that get you?
Enough cocaine to make Adelaide seem nice.
I don't understand how we have enough money to afford that and yet we can't solve housing.
But they're
we
different.
Can't solve JobKeeper.
No, Dom, you know, when you do your household budget, you know, you divide it, like, you money. Not all money is the same.
Yeah,
like,
I can't afford to buy food, but I've still got to pay
your mortgage,
for expensive internet,
your rent.
Yeah.
And that's the same with this thing. Like
it's protection money.
Yeah, you can't. It's the one thing you can't fall behind on.
You pay the local crime lord money, and then you can run your business. Otherwise, they burn it down.
The only problem with that metaphor, Dom, is that I can't imagine that the UK, you know, sent preppy David Cameron along, and the conversation with Albo was basically like, "Nice country you've got here. It'd be a pity if it broke some windows, eh?" You know, like what? Yeah. What plausible?
You know what he did, David? It's David Cameron. He said, "Nice pigs you've got here."
We should have just bought him off with the pig farm.
We could have given him a pig. Yeah. We should have given him a pig farm.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been the way to go, absolutely.
So the point is, what I don't understand is what threat does the UK pose to us that we need to pay them any tribute? Like,
why are they even part of the deal? I don't understand. I honestly don't understand why. Like, we've been so dependent on the US for our security. You
know why, and this is actually what my speech was about, right? So you know, we all know why, which is Crosby Texter, that consulting firm, which has now moved into the US as the CT Group, they sewed up all the submarine manufacturers because they're now private military contractors. That's what they do. They're consulting.
Wow, Crosby Texter have done so well for themselves, haven't they?
They, meanwhile, had a person who used to work for them in Morrison's office. The chief of staff of Boris Johnson was from Crosby
Texter.
That's
right. We did a whole podcast episode on this too.
And so what I said in my lecture was, look, maybe the point about communicate, because they wanted to know how to communicate national security messages to a broader audience, right? And I said, look, you know, you can talk about China or Middle East. I'm sure you will a lot, you know, over the next 2 days as they do their conference. But perhaps the biggest national security threat comes from things like the CT Group. And I brought up the CT Group's website. The front page of the CT Group's website, which is Crosby Texter, is all about how to make money out of AUKUS, right?
Wow.
That is literally so their business model is how to profit out of the government's sort of largesse, right?
Okay, so here's what I'm getting.
It's just a business model. And I said that corrodes national security far more than any sort of like China threat or something like that.
The threat comes
from within.
Is the biggest threat to Australia right now, is it actually China or any of the other regional powers? Or is it having to give the US and the UK countless billions of dollars?
Yes.
When you think they'd want to protect us anyway because we're friends. Is that what friendship is? Yeah. I have to pay my friend now to help me?
And I said,
I'm in a tough spot.
I said, you've already lost everyone under 35. Everyone under 35 or in some cases 45 can't afford their house, whether it's renting or buying, right?
They're just desperate.
Like nobody has any economic security. Surely the foundation stone of national security is economic security. The Australian government's not doing that.
No.
And yet it's sending all its money overseas. Like it's just ass backwards. The biggest threat is from corruption like AUKUS and other corruption like PwC. Like PwC is just completely corrodes everyone's opinion of the government to do anything. And you're going, that's the biggest threat to national security. The threat is from within. It's from private rent seekers just ripping us off.
Well, that's a very strong analysis. I think your trip to Canberra was actually worthwhile because that's how the world works. On a related note, Charles, how do I get me some of that sweet rent?
Yeah, I think we need
that. Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
You just transfer your rent. We'll set it up as a pay ID, podcast@chaser.com.au. Just give us money or we won't be there for you in the event that China attacks you.
Yes. Look, we should just threaten our listeners.
Yep.
And then they could pay tribute.
Right. Pay us money or in the event that China attacks you,
yes,
we won't be there for you. That's the deal.
I love it.
You know, if you can get CT to spin that.
We should set up our own consulting firm to teach people how to do this. Could be like...
Firth Knight. Fuck you. That's fantastic. All right.
We're doing that.
Well, fuck you. Okay. Our gear is from Rode, our... part of the Iconoclast Network, and we're coming to get you on this. You said money. Is that a threat made by an electronic wire service and therefore a violation of federal law?
Yeah.
Probably.
Chatham House rules, though. No one can report it.
You can't report it. You just say, I received a threat, but because it's under Chatham House rules, I can't tell you where it's from. Catch you in the next podcast. See ya.
See ya.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra.
and UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit UH1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.